Welcome back to the podcast that rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news of the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. Happy Halloween week. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
We are dressed the best we can for the holiday season. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will not do a Canadian impression. You might get some other impressions on stream, though, considering what our costumes are. Thank you so much for tuning in. 50 likes will play Festival Rock or Flop. I would have loved to play spooky music, Halloween metal music, horror music, something even fun, like the old horror stuff, the old Halloween-y stuff. YouTube would have a fit. So, enjoy us dressed up. I'm Wolverine. Alex, introduce yourself, who you are for the audio crowd. And then Rowan, Alex.
I am Nadja of Antipaxos.
Very nice. And Rowan.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
See, he doesn't laugh while he's saying it, though. He doesn't get the giggles when he says it. That's the problem.
Yeah. Shit.
Oh, but somebody already called and said, is Rowan Fred Durst?
Yeah.
Yes. You got that. I cannot have the claws on the whole time. There's no way, because I cannot work like this. So.
You can't type like that?
Like this.
No, you just feel, yeah.
You're all.
Dang it, Scott Summers, you stupid jerk. Yes. Thank you so much. It was not a huge news-breaking cyclic week. As it's Halloween week, though, we wanted to talk about some fun things in the world of rock and metal. This is probably the best week to do it, and I wanted to talk about some fun things. So, before we get to that, I have one small bit of information that passed off, and this is radio information. I don't know. Alex, you might be aware. Rowan, you may not. You may, though, because you're Northeast. WMMR legend in Philadelphia, their long-time DJ passed away, Pierre Roberts, at 70. That is a bummer, and I am not sharing my screen with you. I need to share my screen. I apologize. See, I'm the Wolverine costume got me too excited. Now I don't know what to do. Bam. Bam. Pierre Robert passed away. He was found at his home at age 70. For those who are not aware, Pierre was beyond a staple in Philadelphia for rock radio, for a station that's been around as long as our parents have been alive. And he's been on the air for that long, just about as well. So that is a big loss to radio. I wanted to start just by saying our thoughts go out to everyone at the WMMR team, everyone in Philadelphia, except for the sports fans. All of you people really do have a lot going for you with the legend that was Pierre. And I do hope that a good tribute is made for him because he contributed so much. Alex dropped off. There she is.
I don't know what happened.
You're okay. The little Discord noises, by the way, go burr,
burr. Yeah, they're all Halloween themed now.
Jeez, Discord. A shred of professionalism as we sit here in our Halloween costumes.
You're getting into the spooky season too.
It's just so off. It's just so weird. It's like, what in the world? Oh, it's Discord. That's my reaction to it all.
Well, if it's spooking you, it's doing its job.
It's not really spooking me. It's just confusing me. That's not scary. It's just
it's
random.
Putting you off, though, which is like what horror wants you to do.
I guess it's a stretch, but I guess.
I say keep it, Discord.
Keep it for Christmas. Who cares?
Oh, yeah, I can sign on that.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be like holiday bells or something for Christmas. Ooh, I don't know.
It might be. Now that's like the ho ho ho's and jingle bells.
Yeah,
we now go on.
It's just like Mariah Carey's song just starts playing anytime anyone joins a call.
I mean, we have new Christmas songs coming up. We got Taylor Momsen's Christmas stuff. We have a chance of getting something new just to sprinkle it in. Yeah, so just sprinkle it in. We are not ready for Christmas yet. We're ready for Halloween. There are many an article on many a website talking about the scariest bands of all time, the best horror bands of all time, top 10 horror, all this stuff. So we're not going to go through every list because, again, there's so many over the years. But we do want to talk about the bands that are the best. And chat, this is one where I do want to hear your thoughts. Dear Wolverine, how do you type with your claws out? I don't. It's a pain. They have to buy me like on my own keyboard. It's nuts. So,
I thought you just hire a guy who just kind of transcribes everything you once said or typed out.
Wolverine swears too much, so they never last in the X Mansion, so they have to keep firing people. So, we'll start off just with this basic one. If we're going to go comedy, and we're going to go aliens, and we're going to go blood and guts, let's just stick with gore. That's a great one, right? How could you go wrong with gore?
It's like if a B movie was a metal band.
Yes. sometimes C movie, like not even B movie theatrical release, like straight to video.
You know, that's how the band started, right?
Yes. In Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say they started in Richmond, Virginia, and all the other stuff, like the old videos they have too. Richmond, Virginia, Space Freaks Guar. Boy, that is a great way to describe them, by the way. Go ahead. If you want to talk about the intro story, go ahead. Like how and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, from what I remember, the guys, the actual musicians in Guar were in like a bunch of their own bands. And I think I remember correctly, some of the guys who were behind the more creative elements of Guar were shooting a low budget movie called Scum Dogs of the Universe. And they had all the costumes. They had like all these paper mache or cardboard, like sort of like props and all that stuff. And then I think if I remember correctly, the band took a bunch of them, wore them on like one of their shows, and it was like really well received. So it's just like, you want to just put this together? I might be getting some details wrong. I read this story a long time ago, but it was like something along those lines where it started out as just a bunch of like film students just making a stupid sci-fi movie. And that kind of just became the basis for Guar, which that's just kind of cool.
It is very cool. Since 1984, Guar's been around a lot longer than people realize.
It's a very unique concept too.
Alex, I know you've seen Guar. Any fond memories of seeing Guar live?
Oh, just so much cough syrup. So much.
Yes.
All over.
Yes. Cough syrup, cherry and vanilla flavored, by the way.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. The vanilla. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get other stuff as well. I got to shoot them at the amphitheater I was working for. Like, I got hired out to shoot them at the Lamb of God show. Did I tell that story yet for Guar?
Maybe, but I don't remember.
Okay. So this was less horror and more shock, which that's Guar. But they kill celebrities and famous figures. So first they unalived Donald Trump. Then they unalived Elon Musk. Then they unalived Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was a pregnant Taylor Swift with a Travis Kelce jersey who walked up on stage and goes, Blothar, the singer. Blothar, I just got back from the clinic and this is your baby. You got to take care of it. That's the whole bit. And then they had an unaliving on stage.
Yes. Secret love child.
Yes, right? That is correct. Yes. A Guar love baby with Taylor Swift. So that's Guar on the more horror side, you know, all that.
I know they do comics because I have a couple. They do. I say if they do another one, I want that to be a plot point. That'd be hilarious.
The whole lore.
Yeah. Like,
all of it.
The last series I know they did, the one from 2017. I remember like in the end of that series, they were going through time travel. That was the concept. But then they killed Kurt Cobain and then staged his death. So then everyone thought what happened to him is what happened to him.
You could honestly tell me anything and then say Guar and it's like, okay, I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thoughts on the Misfits falling into this category? Because when you go back to the original Misfits, this was something different and unique for horror.
Well, I mean, like they were kind of the first to really embrace the horror element. I know Black Sabbath and a bunch of other bands kind of like went into the occult imagery, but like Misfits themselves, they were directly referencing all these old sci-fi horror movies with their music. Even the logo we all know is from The Crimson Ghost, this really old movie from the 50s. And I mean, like, they don't shy away from it. I feel like they were just kind of like one of the first bands to really embrace horror as part of their identity, really.
That's a good way to put it. Alex, have you ever seen
the Misfits? Definitely.
Rowan, have you ever seen, have you seen the Misfits?
I saw them. I saw one of their first reunion back in 2018 at the Prudential Center.
Alex, how about you?
I saw Danzig.
I saw Danzig solo. That could be a horror story in itself, depending how far along. Yeah.
I do remember too, like at my show, it was in May, but like when we got there, they had all these like Halloween-esque backdrops. They had like pumpkins, they had castles, skulls, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They all had their corpse paint on. Yeah.
Very cool. I think that fits. I mean, there's a lot going back in time. I do want to go all the way down to one that I've talked about before, one of the newer bands, newer-ish, Creeper, because they've gone full horror with a lot of their stuff now. Their new album that's coming out is full into the horror cheese side of it. Vampires, dancing 80s tropes, the gothic stuff. They've totally shifted into that. And they were the goth punk, horror punk side of that with their first album, but now they're like going to Meatloaf levels of storytelling, like bombastic, overly dramatic type stuff, and it works. So if you're looking for something newer, Creeper is a good one for that. So talk about
would we consider
go ahead either one of you, Alex.
Would we consider Ice Nine Kills
yes
horror band?
I would say so.
Now yes, because they didn't start out
Horrorwood? Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they didn't start especially out that way, but yes, they definitely are now, 100%.
Yeah, the first album, it was all based on books, but once we got the Silver Screen, hell yeah.
Yeah. I think they realized too, once they did that, because they had been around for quite a while up until that point and like never caught on to that popularity. Then when they did it, it just beyond took off. So
yeah. The Silver Scream really sent them. And they even poke fun at that themselves. They're like, oh, the Silver Scream, you know, that monologue bit they do.
American Horror Story.
It definitely helped them stand out from the rest of the pack. Yeah.
100%. I think they still relish in it. They just did like the Joker thing for the music video, but still they relish in horror. And I like that they branch out outside of movies too. They go to TV and then they go to video game horror stuff, like with Resident Evil. So they're the band that tries to find it. Good.
I was going to be honest. I thought like with the Matrix song they did a couple months back, I wondered if they were going to go into like a full sci-fi action route, you know, like that would be like the next phase. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like with the Joker, you got like more comic book stuff, you know, so I don't know, maybe it's just like more action oriented. Maybe we'll have like a superhero thing going on.
Could be.
That'd be kind of cool.
Matrix.
Where would you say, guys?
Go ahead.
Where would you guys like say Ghost is in this discussion? Would they be part of it? I feel like if we're putting in Creeper, I feel like.
Yeah, I would say yes, because like of the lore alone. I mean, they unalive each singer for every album cycle, technically. Maybe not unalive anymore, but they have so much core and undead, like occult type stuff. I would say yes.
Yeah,
it's more of like an actual story itself. Mm-hmm. Like they don't sing about ghosts and goblins and ghouls or anything, but they definitely fit the storyline, and their own storyline could be kind of horror, and the look obviously totally fits.
Mm-hmm.
I remember their music video for Pinnacle to the Pit. I think if I remember, that was like a homage to like very old silent film horror movies with like their cinematography and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just feel like it's really cool. Like their music videos are always like kind of like that sort of like campy, sort of like spooky, like aesthetic, really, especially with like a Skeleta. But
they,
like
they relish in making it fun, not just scary or horrifying for the sake of being edgy and grotesque. There are a lot of bands who do that great, but this Ghost is not one of those bands. But I would still say horror. They, you know. I mean, okay, let's put it this way. Would a the typical Presbyterian conservative mom in Kansas be terrified by some of these images? Yes. Well, then guess what? They fit.
Well, I feel like you could put any metal band in front of the Presbyterian Kansas mom and she would freak out.
Maybe.
Well, it depends on the look.
Yeah, see, some of them look clean, pretty cleaned up now, you know?
Yeah.
Like you look at Death Heaven, you look at Death Heaven, they look like normal people.
Yeah, or you get, I don't know.
They look like normal people, but as soon as you play Sunbather for her,
I'm not going to listen to it. They don't care. We're talking about aesthetic.
So this was a band that people keep popping up every now and then. Like, I get the argument, but I guess I never really put it was AFI. And I'm like,
they dress up.
They dress up, yes, but I just never thought of that much association with horror. Maybe that's a me thing. Chat, let me know. Someone said Kansas mentioned. Yes, we're aware that the state exists. I've driven through it several times.
I'm seeing MyChem in their paragraph, and honestly, I feel like MyChem would be more fitting than AFI. No offense to AFI, but like at least MyChem like goes further into the more gothic aesthetic.
Yes, really. It seems darker.
I'm not saying
theme.
They belong.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It seems darker in theme. Okay, and now because I'm assuming my wife is listening, we have to talk about Powerwolf, because you know what? It really is that great. This is the perfect blend of definitely sings about horror trope, zombies, wolves, the occult, things like that, crooked priests and like demonology and stuff. But
I'm seeing the songs already. Demons are a girl's best friend.
That's
I'm
their best. That is their biggest
blood.
Demons are a girl's best thing are their biggest one. I would play it right now if this podcast would not get shut down instantly. That's our favorite, Gretchen of Mines. That was her first song of it. Okay. It's power metal, but it's intentionally campy and fun with it. This is a band made of a cult of werewolves that sacrifice to stay alive to sing through metal and their religion, which is also metal. It in no means is supposed to be that dark. This is something you could easily take the kids to and they would have fun with it.
Yeah. Also, by the way, look, I'm looking in the chat and I cannot believe we brushed past them. Alice Cooper and Rob Zombie. Yeah. Those guys.
I was saving that.
Yeah, we're getting to the Yeah. So we'll go in order.
Those are like
We got the bands first. We obviously got to have the big swingers though. Alice Cooper still doing good. Would be amiss if I did not ask Alex about Alice Cooper first because I would fear for my safety.
I don't understand you're saying.
You dressed as Alice Cooper for Halloween one year, correct?
Oh, yes, I did. I get what you're saying. Okay, because Alice Cooper's awesome. Mm-hmm. So Alice Cooper, total horror, rock, metal icon. We know that. He basically like paved the way for what we know as shock rock.
Yes.
I would say, I think Alice Cooper was pre this or... I think I remember watching a documentary and Kiss were like, you know, what is Alice Cooper doing? This is crazy. I can't believe he's doing this on stage. He's, you know, got all of this stuff. He's got the guillotine. He's got all of these different props and he's got like, you know, just the crazy Alice Cooper stuff he had early in the 70s. And they're like, what if we were four Alice Coopers? So Alice Cooper birthed Kiss and then an entire slew of horror bands, like bands that are not afraid to go crazy on stage and do all of this crazy fun stuff with the pyro and the Alice Cooper is a badass.
And while what's wild, Alice Cooper outlived most of those bands' careers and is still going.
You reminded me of this, but like when I first started working for my old boss, Mark Weiss, it was Halloween when I first started working with him and we had a gallery show and he was doing like this big, like, this like live stream too, just to kind of like promote it and promote his new book. And I remember too, he dressed up as Alice Cooper because he's like really good friends with him. I even have like a picture right here. Yeah. I don't know. There you go. Oh. There's me right there. 18-year-old me with like Paul Stanley.
Nice.
Kiss makeup on.
Very nice. Okay. I have a quick Alice Cooper story that does not really have to do with Alice Cooper. But still, I saw him either last year or 2 years ago on that Rob Zombie Alice Cooper tour. It was a lot of fun. He still does the guillotine stuff, all the stuff on stage. It's a blast. Anyway, eighth grade, but years before I was really into anything Alice Cooper, check it out. I was 13 or 14, and our health teacher, who loved to lecture and go off on tangents and do like the condescending, he knows everything about everything, even though he's supposed to be teaching about health, but he would rarely ever do it. That type of teacher. Anyway. He goes, well, you have all these bands in 60s and 70s. Kiss, who has all this demonic stuff and they look like that, they take the makeup off after every night. It's just a gimmick. But Alice Cooper, he goes to bed every night trying to think of how he can become darker and more evil. Like, I remember looking at my friend and go like in the back of class and going, I don't think that's right. So that's
my bone to pick with Alice Cooper.
Apparently. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just imagine Alice is like the way the Wayne's World movie portrays him, like after the show.
Well spoken.
He's talking about like fun facts about Milwaukee or something.
Dude, he's a totally mellow guy. Like he's super, super chill. He's super like down to earth. His real name is Vincent. So like some of his friends still call him Vinny. And they're like, Alice Cooper is the character. And people don't get that. Like lot of this stuff, it's a shtick. And
I love talking about his sobriety story. Did you ever hear about his sobriety, how he got sober?
Tell me the story.
This is in an older video. This is great though, because he's so hand in hand with his wife who helps with the live stuff and does so much stuff with the creativity side of it. When he was real drugged up and like big on the alcohol too, like he had a bad hangover. It was like after like just almost potential OD. She pretty much smacked around going, listen here, moron, you're going to die unless you get it together. Do you want to go to rehab or a graveyard or jail? Knock it off. And he's like pretty much went, yes, ma'am. And that's pretty much the starting point of how he got sober.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Love that. Nice.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to get smacked around a little.
Yeah. That's what it takes.
Mm-hmm. So we then go to the other side of it, who not only sings about all the horror, he made movies about all the horror.
He definitely is a fan of horror at the very least.
Mm-hmm. He still is. He's older than everyone realizes, too. I just realized he turned 60 this year.
Happy birthday.
He's not that old.
He's not that old. No, but still, I think he's older than people realize, you know.
Celebrated that birthday. I was like, hey, happy birthday, dude. It was in like January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good memory. January 12th, 1965.
Yay. I have brains I can use. I love Rob Zombie. I've always been a really big Rob Zombie fan, and a lot of friends are like, why? You know, it's one of those bands where it's like, why are you such a big fan of this guy? It's just fun. It is so fun. You go see Rob Zombie live, it's a fun time. And he's singing about, you know, just crazy stuff. He's Living Dead girls and Dragulas. It's like, this is a song about the Munsters. What are you talking about? This is so fun.
He's dancing with tassels on stage. Come on.
Honestly, too, it's like, I kind of like his movies, too. I wasn't a big fan of the Halloween movies that he did, but I love the House of a Thousand Corpses like trilogy. I love the Firefly family. They're like, yeah, it's gory, it's crazy, but I mean, like, they're the type of movies you go in not taking seriously, and when you just kind of like run with it, it's still gruesome at times, but it can be really like it's silly gruesome. Does that make sense?
Yes. Like, he has
used to really like.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say those were some of my favorite horror movies when they first came out. I mean, they're still really good, like Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses, top tier. But when they first came out, it was super cool. And my favorite part has always been the soundtracks, which is, it makes sense because not only is he a musician, but he's
the Devil's Rejects.
Yeah. Those soundtracks are just like the feeling and the vibe and just how it grooves, and it's on beat. The whole movie. Yes. I love that. I love it when you do good scores.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, like, the fact that you mention it, like, at the end of The Devil's Rejects, when they're approaching the police barricade and they decide to go in a blaze of glory, and Freebird starts playing. In my opinion, that is probably the best use of a song in any movie ever.
I can't hear that song and not picture that entire ending. And I'm like, damn, 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 damn.
Do you also feel a little patriotic about it, because it is like a fight the cops to Freebird type movie?
Yeah, and they're all loading up their guns and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also remember, too, in the opening of that movie, too, when they raid the Firefly estate, they got oh my God, the almond burst. The Midnight Rider. They're playing the Midnight Rider to the credits and while they're arresting everybody. And you're just like, you have the police going through like this house of horrors, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The soundtracks are fantastic.
Yes. That's always a staple. And again, his movie career has been hit and miss. Even some of his albums have not always hit as hard, but he's always been consistent in something to check out, meaning you always want to see what he does next or hear what he does next. So that's what I've always appreciated about Rob Zombie.
I just love that he's such a weird guy. Like, naturally, he was raised like, he and Spider One of Power Man 5000, they're brothers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that's fun lore, but they grew up in like carnival circuits. Like, their parents worked in carnivals.
Yep.
So they were always exposed to like all of these different crazy wild people, and it's like, that makes sense when you learn their upbringing. It's like, oh, I get it. And I think it's just so cool that he takes all of that creativity and all of that weird stuff that he's seen and that he was obsessed with and that he is probably kind of afraid of. I remember an interview where he was like, I really hate clowns, I'm afraid of clowns. He's just leaning
interesting
into it,
choices.
And I think it's so fun.
Yeah, interesting choices he made for some of those movies. But you know what? Good for him. It's the Batman principle. I have to be what I'm most afraid of.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also in this discussion, I kind of also like to think that we should make a mention of just like times when bands are trying to use their music videos to make pretty much like little horror movies. Mm-hmm. I don't know, stuff like old Tool music videos when they're doing the stop motion stuff. Those are always like very, those heavily go into just like disturbing you with imagery. Or even like even old Marilyn Manson music videos too, when you watch like Sweet Dreams and you just have no idea what the hell is going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I feel like then those in itself are just trying to be like, their own little mini movies. Actually, you know, even going back to the Misfits, I remember during the Michael Graves era, they did a music video where they got George Romero to direct their music video for Scream. And it's like the band as zombies and they're chasing people around a hospital. It was so sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there it is.
I just posted. Yeah, the George Romero one, like I just posted too. Like there's a lot. Years ago in 2019, I made a video for Halloween weekend, 10 horror music videos in rock. I try to share it out every year because this is one of the most fun videos I've ever made. I dressed up as a pro wrestler who did tons of horror stuff called Bray Wyatt. He was the Fiend. He was filled with the horror stuff and I dressed up. Then in 2019, a month later, it got taken down because some of the music videos had blood. So I re-uploaded it in black and white in 2020. And that was fine. Nice. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, one cool thing I remember, and this is one that gets overlooked, body count. Because all the members are named after horror, like Vincent Price and stuff. They're all named after horror. Their music videos get scary sometimes, like Saw level violence. So they do a lot of that stuff too. And then you have the Misfits. You have Halloween, which that's just the classic right there as well. This is the Misfits also. I had to censor a lot of it. Like I had to get creative with some of the censoring for blood. But even when Danzig was out of the band, they still stuck with the horror stuff.
Yeah.
They knew what was going on. Then you get Chelsea Wolf, who is not horror, but she's like horror adjacent.
No, yeah, definitely.
Where's a good photo of her? There we go. There's Chelsea Wolf.
I'm thinking of like the music video for Blood Moon that she did with Converge.
The album, like, yeah.
Yeah, not just the album too, but like the music video for the title track. I remember she's like transforming into a demon or something like that while they like perform in a forest.
Yeah.
There's one band mine, I love. There's
Brent too.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody really knows because they recently released an album, but wasn't their best work. But in 2016, the Haxons released Party Monster, and it is a fantastic album. It's like all super fun, dancey Halloween music, and it's Piggy D or Matt Montgomery, former bassist for Rob Zombie, and Ash Costello.
Okay.
From New York.
I do remember that project. I did not hear it, but I do remember it.
It is so good. I had to buy it on vinyl when it came out. That first album, Party Monsters, came out in 2016, and it has been a staple on my Halloween playlist since. The full album, front to back, is just perfect.
See, that's a fun side project, whether it goes that far or not. That's the type of stuff that could be fun and you should do. You know, more people should.
Well, and they did a couple of covers. Mm-hmm. Like they covered Pet Sematary by the Ramones, and it's an awesome cover, very slowed down, mellow version of it. They did Godzilla by Blue Oyster Cult, and it sounds amazing.
Very nice.
And then a couple other little singles here and there. But I like the Haxons. Check them out for Halloween.
Even when bands do, just do soundtracks for horror movies, that's always cool. This is if we're talking crappy B movies. Yes. If you guys know Maximum Overdrive. It's this really crappy 80s, Stephen King movie.
I know what you're talking about with Emilio Estevez. Yes. Yeah.
So, Chad, this is a movie where technology becomes sentient and like pretty much everything from like cars, fridges, anything else. They all just try to kill you. And it's a very stupid freaking movie. Giancarlo Esposito is in it. Mm-hmm. Not kidding. And the craziest thing about it is that AC/DC did the whole soundtrack for the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. It kind of makes it more fun, to be honest. It does work pretty well because there's so many cars in the movie.
And do you want to know a fun fact too?
Sure.
Stephen King in the script like wrote out AC/DC song playing here. Nice. And for anyone who's not in the film industry, that's not something you ever do. You never like unless it's a song that you are gonna that you're ready to like fight tooth and nail to get into your movie. Mm-hmm. Like scriptwriters never like specify songs because it's like it is a copyright nightmare to get like the licenses for that.
Stephen King gets what he wants. I think that's fair.
Yeah, also, this is during the Coke era of Stephen King.
Yes, correct. Also, one thing, we were talking about bands that try to do a horror music video. We'll end with this one because we have so much other stuff to cover. There's one other Halloween-based story we want to cover really quick. One of my favorite ones that really was meant for horror, Creed with What If? And they had the licensing because they did the entire soundtrack, putting together the soundtrack for Scream 3. And they had all the actors in it and they composed every song and got all the skies for the soundtrack. It had everything from Slipknot and System of a Down all the way to Creed. And the music video is Ghostface chasing after the girls and the members of Creed. It's as cheesy as you think it is. So Always remember.
Gotta be honest.
Good.
Gotta be honest. If like if it's just one guy going up against Creed, I mean, like I can understand like two girls running away, but like a whole band of guys against like just like one dude in a mask. I mean, like I'd be like, bro, just turn around, just kick his ass.
See, to be fair, he picked them off one at a time, which is interesting. And it was always like all the girls were about to make out with each member of the band, except Mark Tremonti, who was just by himself shooting hoops in the back.
I'm like, guessing he lives.
They all live, technically. It was all a prank. And they're all like, aha, you got us, that type of thing. But it's like, Mark Tremonti deserves better than just to have to be back by himself playing basketball.
Well, no, I was about to say, maybe Mark Tremonti would be the only one who survives, because it's like, I mean, like we're talking about Scream here. I just rewatched Scream not too long ago. There's like the whole scene where the guy talks about the rules. It's like, oh, you don't kiss, you don't have sex, you don't do drugs. It's like, imagine Mark Tremonti, the only guy just chilling, playing basketball. He's the one who survives just because of like he wasn't sinning or whatever.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Mark Tremonti's the only one who knew the rules.
He's too wholesome.
Exactly.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, he's faking it so he doesn't die.
Oh,
he knows the rule.
Okay. Well, shifting over to another topic right now, Loudwire put up a fun little article. Rockers and their favorite horror movies. We're going to go through this somewhat quick, but I thought this was interesting to go through. So here's the list. We got Slash, his favorite horror movie, The Omen.
Good choice.
Mm-hmm. Jacoby Shaddix, a Papa Roach, his favorite, An American Werewolf in London. Rob Zombie. He's talked about this before. Frankenstein, the old one from 1931. Then we go to Corey Taylor and Chris Motionless, who said the same thing. Halloween, the original. Good choices. Spencer Charnas, the original Nightmare on Elm Street, which, great concept. Cheese. I don't care what anyone thinks. Cheese.
I'm going to fight you on that. The first movie is scary, but the rest of them I can understand. Actually, Dream Warriors is like that perfect amount.
Yeah, Dream Warriors is fun, though. Dream Warriors with the docking and stuff like that, that's at least fun. But man, when you see Freddy Krueger chasing like this, that's the opening of the movie. That's not scary. It's hilarious.
Yeah, but like
in the 80s, that was scary. They hadn't seen it before.
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You have the girl going up to the TV, the arms come out of it. Yeah. Freddy just picks her up, like, well, then the prime time. Boom.
Yeah. Oh, and Johnny Depp dying in his own, like, blender bed. Yeah. There was great moments. Yeah.
A pool of blood shoots up from his bed.
I'm just saying, there's so much cheese cornball stuff in the music movie, also. I will never get over that.
There totally is.
Yeah.
But you watched it now. Watching it for the first time in the 80s, those people thought that, holy cow, this is really happening. I can't sleep again.
And during a time of like, during the time of like slasher movies where the threat was big guy with knife, Freddy Krueger at least poses the biggest threat out of all of them. It's not just running away from him. It's not falling asleep.
No, I love the concept. That's what I want to make sure. I want to make it sure it's clear. I love the concept, but I also love the idea of everyone in 1984 not knowing that movies weren't real. Like everything's a documentary when they go to the theaters. Like this is really happening on a place called Nightmare on Elm Street? Oh no.
And then everybody's afraid of Elm Street in all towns.
Yes. Every town has one.
Property values on the actual Elm Street just plummet.
That's the real horror story. Right, America? Right.
Well, actually, it's not a horror story, because if I could, if that was the case, I would go back in time, buy up all that property, and I would just sell those houses back for millions of dollars in today's market.
For 20 bucks. Maybe 20 bucks. And you got a couple houses right there. Easily.
Yeah, exactly. Because apparently in today's society, a crack shack puts me back $300,000.
If you want a roof. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the most like... It's those like
we went like, from Halloween to housing prices in America.
Honestly, housing prices in America are horror. Like it's horrifying.
And like you're fighting against companies, not even people that want to buy the property.
This is a horror movie, but in real life.
Yes.
Like, oh, you want this basic shack? $1 million.
Million. Yeah, no. But it doesn't even have three walls. Oh, you want four walls? Well, then.
Yeah, no, I've seen like house listings with like graffiti on the walls inside. There's weeds growing inside the house, and they still had the audacity to charge me like $200,000 just because there's a lot of like acreage of land. I'm like, you are out of your mind if you think anyone is going to pay for this. I don't know what the hell like makes you justify that, but you're insane.
Mm-hmm. There was a quick blip from OBS and Verizon. Are we back on stream? You're good. Back. Okay. Yeah, it was just like a little internet blip. It happened. Sorry about that.
Oh, for the audience.
Yeah. For the audience. It was not Discord. It was not YouTube. It was internet something. So either my internet or it was YouTube itself, but like I didn't lose connection with everyone because I'm still on with you Discord. So it couldn't have been my internet now that I think about it. Whatever. We're back. Wolverine welcomes you. Hi. He waves like this, I guess. I can't because I have to like show the handle. Yeah, see. All right. Going back to the list. Alice Cooper, Suspiria. Excuse me. 1977. Did not see that one. Tobias Forge, The Shining. Some pretty solid choices. Ryan Waste of Municipal Waste. Phantasm. And the wizard himself, Ozzy. The Exorcist. Good choice.
That one's a good one. Nice.
Dave Grohl, The Witch, or The Vivitch, as some people say it's the title. Very good. Good choices. I think these are good, solid choices all across the board.
Yeah, it's cool. We got a Robert Eggers movie. I feel like he's amazing. You guys see Nosferatu from last year?
The new one? I did not. I heard great things, but I didn't see it. Yeah.
So good. Is it? So good.
Good. Yeah, I remember my wife and I talking about maybe seeing it because like she loves horror, but something she can't deal with. Like she hates zombies. And if there's even a hint of animal death, not a chance, which I'm like fine with me. I don't care. So
I can't remember if animals die. I mean, like, actually, no. Yeah, there's this one guy. No, I'm not going to get into it. Mm-hmm.
Other stuff going on.
Horror movie, Luke.
Good question. I do love the first Saw. That is some like figuring out that the guy was there the whole time in the chamber and it was him. And like the sequence was out of order was such like a refreshing way to look at everything. So the first Saw and an underrated horror movie that keeps getting lost in time based on Stephen King short story 1408 with John Cusack.
Oh, yeah. When he's in the evil. That's like
the hotel.
It's The Shining, so good.
Yeah.
Kind of. But it's just like this one single room in this hotel that is haunted, and it's a total mind screw.
It's so good. It's so well done. Like if I had an offer, a suggestion, like for a new horror movie that you haven't seen, like all the classics, 1408 from either 2007 or 2008. It's so good. So
Sam Jackson's in it.
Yeah, and Samuel L. Jackson's in it too. So, Alex, horror recommendations.
Memory with that one.
Yeah, 1408's great.
I love the classics, the classic classics, starting with Dracula, and then Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I love it through Creature from the Black Lagoon. I can watch those over and over. The universal classics. I love them.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool. Rowan, how about you?
My all-time favorite horror movie is definitely The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Okay.
I mean, like, that's one of the few 80s horror movies that, in my opinion, still holds up today. I still, like, watch it every Halloween. I still come across, like, people who have never watched it, and, like, you sit down and watch it. It's like, I just get to see their reactions to all, like, the crazy stuff. It's awesome. But also, like, I also love watching a lot of like the fun campy stuff too. Like everyone knows Scream is like a good satire, but if you guys want another good satire, there's this one movie from 2012, I want to say, called Tucker and Dale versus the Forces of Evil.
Someone just said that in chat. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. If you know it, it's awesome. Guys, seriously, if you love Scream, you will love Tucker and Dale.
It's the most bad luck situations for some of those people in that movie, but it's hilarious.
It plays with perception a lot, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Also,
it's a lot of visual gags.
Yeah. For horror comedy, Shaun of the Dead is classic. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, always a fun blast one. So also my wife chimed in. She said I was there, like we watched Hereditary 2 years ago. And so many people loved it. She said she was underwhelmed like it. I liked it fine, but I at least appreciate they try to do something different with Hereditary with an ending like that. So that I appreciate. So any other horror mentions that you want to get out? Now's the time. Smile, I did not see. Someone recommended that one. Teeth, I did not see. The original Child's Play, all the Child's Play movies. Well, when it gets to Bride of Chucky, they were having fun with it. That's what I kind of appreciated more. Okay.
You bring Jennifer Tilly into your movie, you're good to go.
Yeah. And it was John Ritter's son.
Best one.
Child's Play 2. Okay. See, I'm like getting them confused a little bit, but it's like I remember when I saw Bride of Chucky, it's like, this is just fun. It's meant to be. It should have been like this in the first place. You know,
it's insanely stupid. Same with Seed of Chucky. Also, if we're just talking like stupid and fun horror movies, Reanimator is also a lot of fun, too, if you guys know that one.
I know of it. Never saw it. Final Destination, someone just mentioned.
Yeah.
That's why people
like the
don't,
first three.
Yeah. See, I didn't see them all, but like that's why people don't drive behind logger trucks, which is probably smart in the first place.
Someone's mentioning the Mouth of Madness as well. Is that the one with Sam Neill where he's like trying to track down a writer, but then like the stuff from his books is like happening in real life? I know the movie. I just can't remember if that's the name.
Sam Neill was also in Event Horizon, which was horror. Yeah. That was freaky.
Oh my God. How did I forget Event Horizon?
That movie was so freaky. Like people would go to see a theaters and tell people don't see it. It's too much. So
I saw like the uncensored stuff.
See, I didn't
too,
even see that
like
back
15.
I didn't even see the uncensored one. And I heard like the uncensored is like 30 minutes longer of footage in hell of people getting tortured and stuff. It's intense. Like, but you were, you were the doctor in Jurassic
in
Park.
Jurassic Park.
You were the nicest guy. What are you doing? So,
If we're talking like torture and hell, Hellraiser, obviously too. Hellraiser messed me up a little bit too, watching that. Cause like, especially when her dad gets like strung up with the chains and like everything, all his like facial muscles are being like stretched out too. And Jesus wept. Oh my God. Like,
did you see the new one?
See what?
I don't watch the new Hellraiser movies.
I haven't seen them.
Terrible.
Yeah. Have you?
The most recent remake, Jamie Clayton stars as Hellraiser. And I'm like, okay, maybe. Couldn't get into just the look of Pinhead. I'm like,
I remember seeing still images of it. It's like, okay. It seems like he's like smoothed over and like more polished and presentable, which is an odd take.
Also, by the way, those movies, you gotta understand.
Oh, okay.
You gotta understand too, those movies, it's like the most basic, like, they're not Hellraiser movies. They're like an entirely separate thing. And then they throw Pinhead at the very end and then say it's Hellraiser. It's so lazy. I hate those.
I forgot a big one that I grew up with that I love, Poltergeist.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, that's the movie that scared me the most when I first watched
it. It's such a great first horror movie, though. Even if kids want to break into it, even when you're young, because I don't care about spoilers at this point. The movie's been around longer than we've been alive.
It's 40 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a horror movie where no one gets hurt. That's a big deal. So that's why I say if you ever want to start with a horror movie, that's the one.
All the imagery messed me up. The clown guy. You had like that one guy whose face peeled off.
Yes.
You had like
the pool.
Oh my
with
God!
The skeleton coming
the pool
up.
The zombies. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone said Evil Dead. Yes. Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2.
Yes. Okay. I guess we should get back to the music discussion. Probably.
They overlap. It's kind of a universal thing.
We got into it. That guy.
Dang it.
Like
falling out. Got to get a new cord. I can't hear you, so don't talk about me poorly.
So that guy, Luke, come on, Rowan, what?
Back. Okay.
It took me a sec.
You
sorry.
Missed it.
All right. I know.
Okay. Yeah. I said like Gretchen doesn't love jump scares. She can't stand them. Yeah. Poltergeist is jump scare city.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So anyway, from one city to another, best segue I can think of, but there will be horror bands there now that I think about it of some type. The Sonic Temple lineup got announced, arguably the biggest rock and metal festival every year. So I already shared this to Alex and Rowan. I did not ask their thoughts specifically. I want to see what they think about this. I will give my thoughts after, because I already told them my thoughts as well, but I did not ask theirs. So Alex, put aside your disdain for Ohio. What do you think of Sonic Temple?
Which is that confidence. Just kidding. It's not, it's good. I mean, you've got a lot of the heavy hitters. You've got Shinedown, Bring Me the Horizon, Tool, Godsmack. I mean, Hailstorm, Stone Temple Pilots, even Breaking Benjamin, Marilyn Manson, Megadeth, like a lot of really big names in the rock world, very recognizable names. I think I'm in the minority big time. I think it's too much. It's just too much shoved all into one because you have so many of these outliers and like, you know, like, I don't know.
I just counted really quick. 35 on day one.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. That's what they go for now. They want to jam pack as much as possible. Give you more.
It is a lot, but at the same time, I can already kind of like picture where I would be going for each day. First of all, too, I know you are kind of said with like all these like big name bands, but I also wanted to say too, it feels like it's cool that I'm seeing a lot of other bands too that I feel like don't get enough attention. And I feel like it's just kind of cool that we're seeing them represented here. Like Cattle Decapitation on Thursday. I mean, like, they're awesome. It's awesome they're playing on the same like day as Mike Kem. I mean, that would be a huge tonal whiplash. Yeah. But then also too, especially like Friday's deathcore lineup with Lorna Shore and Kublai Khan. That is so awesome. You got Paleface Swiss, Chelsea Grin. Oh my God. Yes. That's awesome. That's just really sick.
So I'll say this about me. One, the like actual, like the metal stage on the very bottom where they have a lot of some of these bands, not on everything, but still I love Sunday's metal stage with Death Clock and Dragon Force Apocalyptica, something different. That's not always a DWP stuff. My thoughts were, and I'm be honest and be accountable, there are bands on here that are awesome that I love. And there is also absolute trash. So it's perfect for Ohio. That's my statement.
Yeah,
I would go.
I can totally get that, but
I would go to this. Do not get that twisted. I can ignore a lot of bands that I can't stand. Alex, would you go?
Ooh.
See, I have to put everyone on the spot. That's the whole thing of a live podcast. See, like, I'll just
take I would.
Okay. Like, it's farther away from you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would not. If we're talking actual, like, logistically, no. I would not travel all the way from here to Ohio to see any of these bands all at the same time. Because again, for me, it's a lot.
Yes.
Someone mentioned it's overwhelming. It is overwhelming. There are so many bands. You said 35. Let's say there's 35 every single day. Trying to map out if you do want to see a bunch of these names and like, oh, dang it, this is overlapping with this and this and this. And then you've got 4 days of that. That's just a lot.
My argument also is it's not so much the bands per day. It's the 4 day festivals. That is so much. I do wish it would go back to three, like 3 days max is still more than enough. When you're going into like
Sunday.
Yeah. Like
that's the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And you're expected that even if you want to do 3 days as a max, I get it. Like it's not going to be for everyone, but a one-time thing. When you're going to 4 days though, over half the week, and that's not including travel. That is so much of a commitment to do something like that. And also I'm spending that much more of a commitment. And on the same day, there's going to be Skained, Hinder, Buckcherry. Simple Plan? I don't think so.
Well, again, that's what I'm Friday, saying. Like, I'm going to the deathcore stage.
That's fine.
Like you could just like simmer this down, cut this in half, make it 2 days and cut out some of this extra stuff here that we don't need. And then hell yeah, you might convince me to go.
It's
like, but for 4 days. No,
for no matter what tickets you get, whether general admission or the owner's club, super expensive. You're also paying for a hotel every day and travel and stuff. That's what adds up with the 4 days, 2 days and 3 days. That's significantly cheaper no matter who you are. So that's just a me thing. Just like thinking of like people coming and yeah, I can laugh. Ha ha. Good Charlotte. Ha ha ha. Black Veil Brides. Ha ha. You know, I understand they have big audiences. I don't think Buckcherry and Hinder do anymore, but still you get the jokes. No more jokes. I would go to this because there is enough for me to warrant the trip. That being said, I'm not going to say this is me writhing on the floor trying to figure out which of Ivan's toys to sell on eBay just to make extra money. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. If this were 2 days, I would probably go, but I'm not going for more.
I
mean, like I was... I was just kind of like, I didn't really think about it until just now, but yeah, no, thinking about it, it's like, especially if you're not from Ohio, I mean, like traveling wise, you're probably gonna have to take Wednesday too. You're eating a lot into just like the regular work week.
Wednesday through Monday, easily Wednesday through Monday. Cause if I would, I'd want to see Tool, you know?
Yeah.
Like why would I?
That's a tough part too on Sunday. Again, if you're not native, Sunday is like when you got to start planning. Okay. I got to get home.
Right. And like, you're not always in that mindset on Sunday, especially after 4 full days. So, yeah. I mean, again, some people are okay with that. And like, if you live in Pennsylvania, even like it's still driving distance, it's different, you know, that I get.
Yeah, I know. Like New York, Ohio is like 5 hours, 5-6 hours for me. I mean, like, but I mean, like that's a bit.
So it's drivable, but it is a bit and like still hotels and stuff. But again,
Exactly,
if money was no object, I would go. If money
and no other engagements or obligations was no object,
like if I got to work it as a photographer and things like that, even if I wasn't paid, but just like to work the venue, like as media and stuff, I'd probably go. That being said, again, I'm not gonna like backflip live just because I'm so excited about this one. I will say this, seeing My Chemical Romance and Bring Me the Horizon as headliners, true headliners for the biggest one, that is kind of cool.
That is awesome. Yeah. I will say that for sure, too.
My wife wants to see My Chemical Romance live so badly. So let us know your thoughts in the comments. That means the main stage on Friday. See, Friday has decent stuff. I'm just saying, I Stained, Hinder, Buckcherry on the same stage on the same day. I don't know if I could be in the same vicinity.
I would say, like, I also do wish I could see DGD on Sunday. I mean, like, I love their latest album, Pantheon, and I would love to get a chance to like hear some of those live if they were playing those, you know. Yeah.
I do love that Electric Callboy could be playing at the same time as Megadeth. I don't know why, that just tickles me a little bit. So
yeah, that's a fun thing about concerts. You kind of like actually like learn, okay, where do I lie?
Yeah. So tickets are available. Let us know if you're going. Let us know what you think. I do want to know about the lineups and stuff, too. So that being said, we're going to move on really quick because we have so many stories and we spent way too much time talking about horror. So we're going to go quickly. Faith No More fans. I'm a fan. Do I get to see him live? Not anytime soon. Roddy Bottom pretty much said, yeah, it's not going to happen anytime soon. No one's really communicating about it. Ever since their canceled 2021 tour at the very end, right after pandemic, like when things were opening up and tours were actually starting again, that's when Patton had a bit of a, not a full breakdown. He's like, he just wasn't sure and feeling safe and he wasn't in the right headspace to tour again. And it just never picked up after that. That sucks, especially for me, who had approval photo pass and was invited to the show to work it and get shoot it, and now I can't.
Sorry.
Maybe I'm being a little selfish.
Like the claws, like point at yourself.
Wolverine would be mad about this too.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being selfish, but I've never seen Faith No More live, and that was the perfect example at a killer venue in St. Louis, and it never happened. So here's hoping 2026 Roddy can nudge people in the right direction. Is that fair? I don't think that's the quote. I don't think anyone's sort of up for it at this point. The sadness. But now we move on to good news. In the Motionless and White camp, we're getting a new Motionless and White album sooner than later. I like that. That's good news, right? It's been a while. Yeah. I hope they will do something with Nick Gordon again.
It was 2022 that they last released music, right? I can't
score
remember
the
exactly.
End of the world, score the End of the World, Score the End of the Earth. I can never get the title right. I didn't hate it. It wasn't my favorite they've done, but I love that
it was
Nick Gordon. Yeah, but I love that they worked with Nick Gordon on some of it.
Nick Gordon is awesome. Yes.
Let's just hope Spirit Box doesn't release an album at the same time.
Oh, I see.
Remember what happened?
I remember. There's bigger problems to have, I guess. What's that called? Champagne problems in the work field. It's like, oh
may
no, they, what will I do?
Maybe see that poll as, I don't know, encouragement to do better.
Yeah, there you go.
You're welcome. It's going to be a better album because of us.
That's true. They clearly listen to us and our opinions residuals? As well. Yes.
Yeah. Does that mean we can get residuals?
We want residuals for the Spear ideas. And since we know that Rush should be playing there, I want my cut. And Wolverine's Canadian. So you know what? I got to get loonies and toonies for that too. But speaking of the Spear, that was a terrible segue, but I'm working with what I got. Alex sent us this. It's Guns N' Roses not going to play the Spear anytime soon.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay. Were people clamoring for it? I don't think so.
Like, we talked about this last week. I just don't understand the appeal of Guns N' Roses live anymore.
But the Sphere, you could see all those images of Axl Rose and 360.
I can think of dozens of other bands I would rather see at the Sphere before I see Guns N' Roses.
Alex, any thoughts when you sent this article to us going, oh no, no Guns N' Roses in Vegas?
Oh no. I laughed. I was like, oh, that you guys were thinking about that? Like, it's all cool, but I will totally agree with Slash in what he said in this interview. He's like, you know, it's not really like rock and roll friendly. And in the way Slash meant it, I agree with him because you know, like you said, what are we gonna do? Just look at Slash up on this big giant screen the whole time? Like
You get Slash Cam from his sunglasses. So he's like the 3D everywhere. I don't know.
Or just imagine like Axel has another like tantrum, and you just see that on like the big, the big screen.
See, you two, they have tons of visuals. Fish, yes. Tons of visuals. They can do something like that. Slash or Guns N' Roses, they're more on stage. Look at us rock, sing with us. So it's not.
He said,
yeah.
The way he said it, he nailed it perfectly. And I completely agree with him. He said, quote, but I don't think it would be right for the environment. I don't think it would be the right environment for a proper rock and roll show. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't. You don't want to see any sort of like rock band just standing up there headbanging, because that sphere is for the visuals. You want that visual element.
They're not taking advantage of it. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And you don't really get that with Guns N' Roses show. They're a performance show. They're a performance band. They're just up there to perform.
Correct. You want to sing along with them, not watch what messages they're going to do and what fun stuff.
Yeah.
Also, I just feel like Axel would get creepy with some of the imagery they try to put on the big screen.
Oh God, I totally
360. Like, he would not be able to restrain himself. No way.
We've heard about the new graphic novel and we've seen the original artwork for Appetite for Destruction.
That's what it's
going to
be. Just the images of him being a cyborg.
No, thank you.
Or imagine it's the spaghetti incident, but like just all around you. That is one of the most ugliest album covers I've ever seen.
And the spaghetti's moving just a little bit to make it a little bit like intimidating.
Oh God,
and gross.
I couldn't stand that. I legit would walk out.
Well, you don't have to. Thankfully. One thing also that was sent to me by Rowan, this is a little odd. I don't know how I feel about this with the Devil Wears Prada, because if I was a bassist, guitarist, drummer, and I was told, we'll write this without you, champ, you just pick up later, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah, so chat, for anyone who doesn't know, this is Kyle Segrist. He has been a guitarist for the band since 2015. He has co-wrote everything from Transit Blue to Color Decay.
Yeah.
So, but for their latest album, which is coming out next month, Flowers, half of the band weren't involved in the writing process. The only people involved were Jeremy and Mike, who are original members, and then John, their keyboardist and synthesizer guy, who's been working with them since 2012. But beyond that too, they also worked with a bunch of other collaborators to help write out the song. Like, so I got like a little like list right here. Mm-hmm. Like, one's a guy named Jonathan Gehring, who apparently is like wow, that is just like,
You get there. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No. But like other tracks involved, like one of the guys from Fit for a King. I forget his name. But like, again, this all broke because Kyle last night posted a video on Instagram where he is learning one of their new songs, Enough. And he was like saying, like, I'm learning a bunch of songs for like when we go live with this tour. And people were like, what are you talking about? Didn't you write this? Is like, no, I was not involved in the creative process. They wanted to go in a different direction and they thought it'd be better if, like, you know, I wasn't involved. I'm abbreviating a little bit, but like,
It'd be one thing if he never wrote with them. Like, it was just never like something he did in the first place.
If he was a touring musician.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like, he's 11 years in, you've written albums with them, you've helped them, and you're like, no, you sit over there.
He's an official member.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's, I don't know. Alex, any thoughts on this? Because I feel like, weird.
I would be pised. P-I-S-E-D, if this happened to me.
Thank you.
I would
YouTube.
Be super upset.
I mean, like,
it's just upset. Weird. Like, what the hell, you guys? Like, I've been with you the whole time. What are we doing here? What is going on?
Does it feel a bit condescending?
It does feel condescending. Yeah. It feels, dude, if you watch the video too, where he's learning the song and just playing along to it, he looks depressed. I'm not going to lie. He just has like this, like,
yeah, I can't blame him.
He's probably concentrating on just getting the song right, but he just looks so defeated in the video.
I don't know. It sucks. Like, I don't know what else to say, though, because they got to go on tour soon. The new album just came out. People like the new album here. Like, I haven't heard it all, but still.
I'm liking the singles as they've been coming out, but I mean, like, that's just kind of depressing.
Right. It hasn't, the full album hasn't come out yet, excuse me. But the singles, people are enjoying because it's something different, but it's also like, yeah, maybe it's different because they wouldn't let their guitarist write. Woof.
Well, not just their guitarist. It's just like, it's also two other members, too. Their bassist and their drummer were not involved either. It's the two original members and their keyboardists and a bunch of other collaborators. And I mean, like, I get that in the music industry, it's like, it's kind of an open secret that like bands sell songs to each other or like help each other out in that regard.
Yeah.
But still, but just like at the same time, just not involving them whatsoever, even though they are official members, they have been with you for years and have co-written albums with you. That does feel like you are being like demoted or something.
A little bit. Side tangent. Someone just made a comment. Tool in the Sphere. Adam Jones would have the most insane visuals made custom just for the Sphere. People would go catatonic in there. So
that would be the closest to taking to experiencing drugs without actually taking drugs
while being sober. Yes.
Yeah.
That would be insane. Yeah. That would be so wild.
That would fit,
all of those visuals.
Yeah, that would be appropriate for the Sphere, though. And that'd sell a lot of tickets. So,
oh, my God. If they do those animations they do with like a bunch of their shows where it's like these infinite patterns. Imagine the Sphere. That is a total. Mm-hmm. That would just melt your brain.
OK, we're going from one live band to another. This band will never play the Sphere, but they made the right moves at their festival circuit. This band I cannot remember the name. Crap. But you see what's going on? Do you see on stage? What can you make out on stage? What on the screen right now? Just call it out.
They're hungry, probably.
They're hungry. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
What's on stage? What's on stage right now? What's listening? It's a 3-piece dad rock band out of Nashville. And the fourth member is just grilling hot dogs and giving them out to the crowd while the band plays a 30-minute set.
Don't understand.
That's a good way to draw a crowd.
That's all there is to it. That's the new gimmick. This band's been around for a while. It's like, it really is like glorified dad rock, yacht rock style, you know? But they just brought the guy with the grill and said, you know what? Cook him.
I mean, Slipknot has a keg slammer, so they have a griller. That's just part of the band.
Cloud writes a lot of the music too, and it's hilarious that all he does is bang the keg.
Well, I mean, but like, I get it. If you're in a mosh pit and you're moving around, you're pushing people, you're swinging. I mean, like, that burns a lot of calories. You got to be able to recharge.
I'll say this, like, at Riot Fest or any other festival, if there was a new band and someone said, "Hey, these guys are grilling hot dogs and give it away while they're playing," I'm going to be interested for free. Like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, no, again,
you don't know what's in it.
You go in the mosh pit for like 15 minutes. That's true. Go up to the front, grab a hot dog or a burger. You eat that. You go back in.
I was going
to
say, we've already had our hot dog discussion, though. Like, if you're doing street hot dogs, we do festival hot dogs from a guy you've never met, tossed from stage to the crowd.
He's probably all sweaty, and I don't think so. I'm okay. Thank you, though.
Well, I mean, like, they're free, though. They're probably better than like what, the $15 hot dog they'll probably get at like the actual food stand.
Arts Fishing Club is the name of the band, which is also an appropriate name for a band like this. Arts Fishing Club. So,
okay.
Gretchen's got the right idea. Free glizzies in the pit. Rad.
Mm-hmm. The glizzy pit. A band called Sincere Engineer had a corn dog pit. Like, people just run around with corn dogs. So it's kind of in the same vein. So we now go to one of Alex's favorite artists. And I saved the story because I found about it today. The story broke a couple weeks ago. Alex, have you heard what Halsey said about her current music making situation?
Tell me.
Do you really want to know?
No.
No, you
I've
don't.
Seen the thumbnail.
You know what? I'm gonna be super honest with you. I cannot see your screen, so I am flying by the seat of my pants, and this is awesome. Tell me what Halsey said.
Am I not sharing the screen anymore?
No.
No, you're sharing the screen. I can see it.
Can you hear?
Oh, yeah, I can hear and see you guys just fine. I can't see your screen.
I need you to hear what she's saying is the thing. See if you could drop off the connection and drop back on. Or not. Don't disconnect for you. Like, see if you can click on my screen on Discord and click on. Like, this is something you need to hear at least.
Okay. Wish me luck. We're jumping in.
Okay.
Hey, I'm in. Let's do it.
Can you see my screen?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Dropped from my label.
Unthinkable.
I got dropped from my label. And then I had to go sign. Dropped from my label.
Stupid YouTube switch.
I got dropped from my label.
Imagine if it was another heavy.
And then I had to go sign somewhere else. And I had to go sign somewhere else. 10 years into my career, having multiple number one hits, massive records, number one albums, you know, triple platinum albums, 4 times platinum albums, and I made that record. And then I couldn't get the tools or the resources. To make another one. I got dropped from my label.
She stalks at another one as well. So that album that was produced by Nine Inch Nails, that was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed. Sold 100,000 copies. Sold 100,000 copies on its first week. And the label still said, "Oh, that's not good enough for us. Hit the bricks." And also, Yep. And that's also why we haven't heard from Halsey in a while, because it's still label drama. She has to sign with other people and it's still a big mess waiting. So if you're wondering why we haven't heard proper Halsey,
Greatest Impersonator, mm-hmm. She released an album since then.
Yeah. The new label. Yeah. But like, it's still a big mess apparently with the label stuff.
Absolutely. That the label situation is still so crummy. We heard from Shirley Manson and she was really adamant about the music industry and where it sits right now and how it is completely unsustainable for even a big band, a legacy act like Garbage, to do what they're supposed to do. Yeah, Halsey's in a different league. She's like a top 40 pop star who has sold
current pop top
tens 40, of yeah. millions. Yeah. But it's like the Katy Perry story. I know we're kind of on a tangent, but whatever. The Katy Perry story, like she got signed to a label. And they shelved her because they wanted somebody else who had the same look and same vibe.
Yes.
So they're like, we're just going to take you and put you here so you can't do anything to compete with the guy we've got in the corner waiting.
It's cut.
They do crummy stuff like that all the time.
Yep.
It's so messed up.
These are commodities, not people, to the label. Yep. That's just, it's like a racehorse. You don't care about the actual racehorse's feelings. If they're not going to win you money, then put that other horse to the side.
Yep. I hate that it's just a situation where 100,000 copies sold in like the first couple of weeks isn't seen as not good enough.
In the 2020s as well, when that was huge.
Yeah. So. It reminds me of how like movies nowadays need to make like $1 billion just mm-hmm. to break even or correct. Something like that. I mean, like you're like, how should I say this? You're putting way too much on like these like works of fiction or art mm-hmm. or something like that.
My point to bringing up Katy Perry wasn't to say like Katy Perry is the best. I love Katy. It's just to the point of these people don't care about people. No. They don't care who you are. They don't care what you're doing. They don't care what you've done
as long as
for
you
them.
Make them money.
Yep. But they're like, you didn't make enough money. So sorry. And that mm-hmm. album was really good. If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power is a good album.
It's got total
Nine Inch Nails vibes throughout. Obviously, it's a good album. That is ridiculous.
Ooh,
these big
sell
greedy
500,000 albums its first week though, so she's done.
Yes, yeah. These big business people are just
so bad,
so gross. I hate it. It makes me so mad.
So bad. Well, I think that's a good look at all the new current stuff going on. We have a little bit of a switch up because this week we're going to be Halloween based for our song of the week, album of the week. Or album versus album. First, we're going to go for some upcoming tours because quite a few got announced. We already talked about Sonic Temple. Alex,
yep, we talked about Sonic Temple.
Yep.
We covered that one. Iron Maiden also announced a 2026 North American tour with Megadeth mm-hmm. and Anthrax.
Fun one.
Huge one. Very legacy metal. Hell yeah. Foo Fighters just streamed a new single and announced a 2026 North American stadium tour with Queens of the Stone Age. We've got Bleed From Within. They're going to tour the UK and Ireland early 2026. Limp Bizkit and Gorillaz are hitting the road with Bring Me the Horizon. Oh, this isn't a tour. I'm sorry. This is a festival for Rock for the People in Czech Republic. So Limp Bizkit, Gorillaz, Bring Me the Horizon, and Iron Maiden as headliners.
Alex, did Rowan get you tickets? Is he going to get me tickets?
I expect a guest list when we get there, Rowan.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Or else I'm going to break stuff.
Okay.
A perfect
circle.
Imagine
accepting the truth.
Awful. Well, we've got a perfect circle. They just announced their first European tour since 2018.
Which is cool.
We've got Grindmother. She's so funny. Grindmother is going to be joined by members of Arch Enemy, Brat, Visitant, and other names I can't say on the radio or I'll get fined.
Yes.
At a farewell celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Poppy just announced Australian and European tour dates. Acid Bath announced their first ever UK show. Death Clock, Avatar, Cradle of Filth, and more were added to Welcome to Rockville.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Bad Omens. That was a huge one.
Arena tour.
Yep, that's huge. I'm super proud of Bad Omens for getting to this level. And they're also bringing out Beartooth and President. I have feelings about President, but whatever.
I will say this. Bad Omens and Beartooth getting an arena tour. Awesome. I think that's good.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. Hawthorne Heights. I don't know if I said that or not. And that's all I've got.
Okay. So a lot of stuff came out this week and decent stuff too. So definitely start looking at calendars, trying to book stuff if it's coming near you. Rowan, Halloween's going to be a big Friday for music.
Oh, yeah, definitely. First of all, we talked about Creeper earlier. Mm-hmm. They're releasing a new album called Sanguivore 2, Mistress of Death. I don't even know if I pronounced that first word
Sanguivore.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Deathcore Icons Despised Icon are releasing Shadow Work. And honestly, I'm really excited about that one. Listening to the singles.
Yep.
The singles are brutal, especially the one with the guy from Kublai Khan. I love that one. Avatar, Don't Go Into the Forest. I think that's the one that like we're all excited about. It honestly, like, Avatar feels like a perfect band to release a Halloween record.
They finally got it right.
You know? Yep. Yeah. And I mean, like, of course, these two EPs that are coming out too, I know we're both really excited. Alex, I know you're really looking forward to this. The Pretty Reckless are releasing Taylor Momsen's Pretty Reckless Christmas EP this Friday. Anything that can kill the juggernaut that is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas, I am in. That has my full support.
100%.
And again, I'm super excited about this. Trivium is releasing their Struck Dead EP. This is the last one to feature Ben as their drummer. We talked about them a couple weeks ago. And again, like, I've heard the snippets. I'm really excited. Trivium to this day really has not missed with like a release. So I expect great things, and I know it's going to be great.
Awesome. A lot of good stuff this week. Good Halloween. Very appropriate, I think. We do have super chats. Thank you so much. We will get to those in just a moment. First, we're going to talk about Song of the Week, which album. So for Song of the Week, we already talked about Avatar. This is the title track, Don't Go in the Forest. This gets released tomorrow. Why am I choosing it now? Because I already heard the album. This is the title track. This is a fun song. This whole album, by the way, without giving a full review, is much more into the atmosphere about making something dark in a story. And they did really well with this. It's not like Avatar Country where the story is just a joke and every song's about the king. No, this feels like a full fleshed out story again. And the dark thematic elements and the crazy guitar solos are awesome. They let Kungan go nuts on some of these, and it's great. So title track comes out tomorrow. Album comes out Friday. Song of the Week is the title track from Avatar. Then we go to our album versus album. Last week we did something for Judas Priest, and it was the expected result, but maybe not by this much. 67%, 2/3 votes for Painkiller over Screaming for Vengeance. I'm surprised it was that steep. Thoughts?
I can understand that. Screaming for Vengeance feels like the classic Judas Priest, but like, I feel like Painkiller, I just love that record more. And it's just kind of like, it's interesting that apparently a lot of other people agree with me there, you know?
No, I gotcha. Alex, any other thoughts?
I'm honestly kind of surprised at how skewed that is, but I mean, they're very different.
They are.
I guess, like, I don't want to say just different albums, but different people like one over the other a lot more. You know, it's kind of, we saw that last week when we were talking about it. It's kind of a full split of some people really like this one or they really like this one.
Yeah.
It's not really like a middle ground kind of one.
I gotcha.
But well, even like growing up, it feels like Electric Eye and Breaking the Law, they were like more in the, like just kind of like in like the public like space, you know,
Breaking the Law for sure.
Anything off Painkiller, you know, like again, this is like the classic Priest album you think of.
For sure. We now go, thanks to a Halloween recommendation. We talked about Ice Nine Kills. Well, let's talk about the Halloween albums, or the horror albums, I should say. Which horror album from Ice Nine Kills would you choose? The Silver Scream or the Silver Scream 2? I just made the poll public on here. So for the Ice Nine Kills fans, this is your chance. Which Ike fan album would you prefer? TSS 2 Horrorwood. Live chat, it's up. Do either of you have thoughts on which Ice Nine Kills album?
I gotta be honest, probably Silver Scream 2, just because that's the one I can remember more stuff off of. It's got the American Psycho song. It's got the Chucky song. I like the title track too a lot too. So, I mean, like, that's my choice.
Alex, any thoughts?
I prefer Silver Scream for sure. Silver Scream, hands down. That was one of those albums when it first came out. That was a full front to back.
Okay.
Listen all the way through, ooh, no skips, which is hard. That's really hard for me personally. You know, I usually am like, I don't really like that track. But when that one came out, I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. And the Freddy Krueger song, I'm like,
yeah,
I like this. This has a nice vibe.
For me, it's a very close split, just barely, for Silver Scream 2 because of the music behind it. Not so much the topics in each like horror dedication. Some of the guitar work, some of the breakdowns, some of the heaviness just hits a little harder for me. I would still take Silver Scream any day, though. So it's a split for me. I'm happy with either. Chat, get to voting. we're now going to go. Some people said this is so hard. So dang it. I'm hoping that's the reaction. Let's go to Super Chats quickly. Again, we're going late, but we had so much horror discussion. It's Halloween. We're dressed up. Let us have fun, please. So, oh, where'd you go? There you go. Your images went away just for a moment. From Ellie Yeats. Thank you, Ellie Yeats. If there's someone here who unironically says Psycho Center is a great horror band, they need to be put on a list and given a restraining order. Happy Halloween. Throw pumpkins this time. Yes, put on a list. Man, the public watch list probably could just be anyone that bought that album and like paid for it. That's probably a good
rule. The FBI has like a list of known supporters.
Yeah. Oh, they should at this point. From Homeschooled Punk, what's your guys' favorite horror movie? Mine is Green Room. Also, the scariest band artist has to be Gigi Allen. He's scary for different reasons, though, Gigi Allen. It's not so much horror as he is a horror. That's a little bit different.
It is horrifying.
Yeah, I get the disturbing. So, also Green Room, I never saw. That stars the one guy who played
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, stars Patrick Stewart and the guy that was his last movie, the Russian from Star Trek. I do not remember his name. He was a good actor before he passed away.
Yeah.
I never saw it though. So, thank you. We answered our horror movies before as well. So, from HG Jason. Nice Halloween costumes. Also, holy crap, it's already Wednesday. Yes, it comes up fast, right? Thank you for the thank you for the costume, love. Homeschooled Punk again. I remember seeing the music video for The Kill by 30 Seconds to Mars, oof, before knowing about The Shining. I was super confused at the time. Yeah, if you didn't know about The Shining, it's hard to get the concept of that. But funnily enough, that's also when 30 Seconds to Mars was good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We got some super chats. Are you guys ready to book some Halloween festivals?
Ooh. Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or not.
I'm going to take the hat off, by the way. It's pressing into, like, the headphones and the hat are pressing into, like, my ears. And
I mean, Fred Durst technically has to take the hat off at some point. You know, he doesn't live in it.
Yeah. So, yeah, here's, like, my Tim Burton hair for all of you.
Oh, there you go. Each week, when we hit a like goal or we get super chats, play a game called Festival Rock or Flop, where we look random festivals in a super chat, if with through super chats, four random bands, and a random middle of nowhere festival. Think of radio station festivals. Here we got our first one. Did we hit the like goal? I don't think we hit it yet. If you haven't hit the like, if you haven't hit the like button yet, please hit it. We're three away. We'll get to the super chat ones first while you guys hit it. Please hit the like button, guys. It helps us out a ton. Yeet Fest is up first. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
I hope I did not jinx us with what I said. Here we go. Yeet Fest, band number one. We got Of Mice and Men. Not bad. Fine with that. Number two, Greta Van Fleet. Not the same fit.
You're pairing.
Odd vibe, but we're going to keep going. Number three, The Cure. Ooh, that does feel good for Halloween. That's appropriate. And number four, Steel Panther. Okay, what is this festival?
This is all over the place. There is no consistency.
Yeet Fest had 24 hours to book a festival, and this is what they got. So The Cure's headlining. Steel Panther opens up, and
I like, with the exception of Steel Panther, I like all these bands individually. I don't know if I can handle seeing them all play one after the other.
It's total whiplash. It is total whiplash.
It's so total whiplash.
I would go, I do think it could make money just banked off The Cure alone, especially for like a Halloween fest or show. Boy, it's pushing it though, because Steel Panther's gonna do weird stuff for a Halloween show. Weird. So, Alex, any thoughts?
Yeah. Who am I missing? I've got Steel Panther, The Cure,
Of Mice and Men.
Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, Greta Van Fleet. Oh, yeah, this is so weird.
See, right?
Yeah.
It's total whiplash for sure, but
I think I don't need to go.
Right. No, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I don't need to. This is not something that we have to like make plans for, but I love The Cure though.
Yeah. I love The Cure. I love Of Mice and Men.
Everyone in the chat's echoing our thoughts.
It's not horrible.
Yeah. No, it's not horrible. A Steel Panther can get horrible sometimes, but that's intentional, I think. What do we call Yeet Fest? A yay or a nay?
I'm saying nay.
Mm.
Yes, no, yes, no. Yay, 50 likes. Thank you, Gretchen, for letting me know. Yeet Fest, I think by a razor margin. Yeah, it's so, like, what would the audience makeup be? That's another thing. Like, what would be
it'd
the
be core? So weird.
It'd be odd. Like yeah. You would have it in Anchorage, like Alaska.
The five armies.
It'd be like Anchorage, Alaska, and just everyone shows up because there's nothing else to do. So,
yeah, Alaska, of course.
Yeah, so Homeschool Punk, you're up. Homeschool Fest, here we go. Band number one. We got Buckcherry. Boy, if there was a band that screams homeschooled, it's Buckcherry. Oh, we're not having a lot of great luck this week. Number two, Cliff Diver. We had last week, so we need to move on. So, Buckcherry, number two. Not Greta Van Fleet. Number two, Imagine Dragons. So we have Imagine Dragons and Buckcherry. Homeschool Fest. I'm not loving what you're throwing up there. I'm not sure it's going to make the money you think.
Imagine the other two are going to be like the greatest like picks ever.
I hope so. You got to make up for it somehow. We're in the business to make money. Number three, we got Hinder. Oh, no.
This is the antithesis of everything you stand for.
What in the world happened to Homeschool Fest?
What did you do?
Homeschool kids don't deserve this. Number four, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. We are not allowing Joan Jett to be on that stage. No.
No. Oh, she no. does not deserve this.
How?
This sucks.
Her
this
booking
sucks.
Agent is straight up fired. Not even let go. Like, called on the phone. Get out of your office. You're done.
I'm going to speak for the entire chat. There's not a single person who's going to say yes to this, right? I can't imagine.
I don't even think Joan Jett would say yes to this if she was paid.
I hope she says no.
No, she would have to. She would have to say no. She'd be like, I'm not getting on a plane for that. Heck no. Forget it. I'm staying home.
How are you guys doing?
You got probably the worst lineup we've had so far.
Imagine Dragons, Buckcherry, Hinder, and Joan Jett.
Yeah, no.
It feels mean to Joan Jett a little bit.
Can we let her get in on the next festival? Let's just move her over.
Yeah.
Sorry, Homeschool Punk. So we have 2-0-2. Jason Fest is the last one, and then we have our own. Jason Fest, let's see if we get some redemption. Number one, Chevelle. There's a band. Good start. Yeah, Chevelle. Number two. Oh, we got Mastodon. Yes. See, Jason Fest is helping pick up the slack. There we go. Number three. All That Remains. Okay. I can deal with it. I can deal with it. Okay. Is that fair? I can deal with it. This was the third time.
You'll be singing 2 weeks.
I don't know.
You'll be singing 2 weeks at the top of your lungs and having a grand old time.
Uh huh. Number four. No. Oh no! Dress Wet Scantlin playing Nirvana covers.
I would rather have Buckcherry. I would rather have Buckcherry.
I would too. God. I would too.
That was a 1-2 punch right there from your AI or your
who
generator or whatever.
Like, oh. What happened?
By the way,
what
that's not puddle. That is not puddle of mud. That
right
is drunk Wes Scantlin playing Nirvana covers. It's a difference.
Oh God.
Chevelle and Mastodon are straight up there just to laugh. They wanted to see the nightmare. That's it.
I'm not happy with our festival. Okay. Our weekend sucks.
Okay, no wait. I can salvage this. I can pregame, go to this, have a great laugh at this abomination, and then by the time I sober up, I will get to experience Chevelle and Mastodon. So that's my strategy. What about you guys?
I couldn't go.
I'm sick.
I don't want to enable something like this. Like, this is
I can't go because I'm sick.
Can we at least say that this would be the opening act? Like, Puddle of Mud is not where they were once were.
That's the first time that's come up also. That's wild that it's been there for so long and it finally came up. Sorry, Jason Fest. I will not be going. No, I can't. It's a moral responsibility at this point.
Moral responsibility.
Yeah. I wish you guys were more familiar with what we do in the shadows so that I could say stupid stuff.
That's a show I keep wanting to get into it, but I haven't.
It's funny. It's so stupid, but it's so funny.
I like the cast and I like the guy from the IT crowd. So,
you know, I saw the movie that the show is based on. I like that.
All right.
Well, next time, you better come prepared, gentlemen.
Okay. All right. We got a lot of homework to do then, apparently.
I'll binge the entire show by next week.
Yep. Yes. All right. We have our festival. We'll name it after. Here we go. Number one.
We get some luck here.
We went for West Camp, but okay. Fresh Day. This is it. Number one.
You can't show up again.
Gojira.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. See? Working better already. Number two. Loviet. Oh, I know someone who's going to go. Yeah.
I will definitely be there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Side stage, probably. Number three. Poison.
Oh, God. No.
Fine. Okay. I'll say this. It's fun to see the middle age and older audience of women lose their minds for this man.
I hate Bret Michaels.
That's fine. You know, it's something you could just not listen to, but I assure you, seeing it, it's a show because those women are trying to kill security to get on stage with him.
Is this Poison or Bret Michaels?
Poison.
Okay. I'll get down with some Poison.
Okay. And number four. A Day to Remember. We are all over the place again.
This one I will go to.
About Poison.
Yeah. Like, take it as my, like, how I advertise it as, and it's a lot easier to take it. Also, I can see A Day to Remember doing something fun for Halloween. Think about it.
Definitely.
Yeah. I would go to this. Gojira and A Day to Remember. You got that. That's fine. And Loviet opening up. So Alex and Loviet can just hang out in back for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll be like, every rose. It'll be fine. Ooh, it'll be fun.
You could be the two groupies on stage for Bret Michaels.
How dare you?
I saw someone say in the chat, all those granny panties thrown on stage. I would claw my eyes out if I see that.
I don't think you realize they're not even trying to do that. They're trying to get at him, like claw up on stage to get to him. So I would go. This works. Gojira, Day to Remember.
I can never say this.
Loviet and then Bret Michaels riling up all the moms. You know what?
We do have to send the moms somewhere.
Yes.
So.
Yes, exactly. The moms may not love A Day to Remember a Gojira, but they're going to come anyway for Bret Michaels and Poison. So it's going to make money. I see a lot more yeses going for a Gojira and A Day to Remember. Yes, yes. Although merch during Poison, sure. Third time. Poison show. Okay, that is inappropriate in the chat. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but gross, you're grounded. But you know what else? You know what else? That is a successful concert. I don't know what concert we're going. What do we name this one?
I thought you were clapping that guy.
No, I was not clapping that guy. I'm trying to clap for our festival, our successful 1 out of 4 festival. By the way, I don't think we can crap on Sonic Temple not booking a perfect festival anymore.
It's harder than it looks, apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
sometimes you just get unlucky with the generator.
Yeah.
That's probably how they were with some of the lineups.
That's what they did this year. Hey, it actually worked decently because there's plenty of bands to choose from that one. We got, they will not have Drunk West Scantlin or Buckcherry and Hinder with Joan Jett. So you know what? They went on that one. And we go to our poll. I'll just leave this up right here with a photo of Jeremy McKinnon. Our poll for the live chat, which is Ice Nine Kills on, which prefer the Silver Screen 2 or the Silver Screen. The Silver Screen wins at 57%. So it's a decent split. 57 to 43, that's pretty decent. I am curious.
The Horrorwood one.
Yeah, the Horrorwood one. I am curious to see what the poll will be on the main channel. So that'll be linked in the comments and the pinned comment on YouTube and in the podcast notes if you're listening on the podcast. I would also like to say this, our final question to Alex and Rowan. Very serious here. Alex first, ladies first. What is your favorite Halloween candy?
Ooh, I'm a sucker for a nice Reese's.
Okay, classic. Yeah. Rowan, how about you?
Milky Way.
Very good choices, both of you. Always love those. If I'm going non-chocolate, give me Sour Patch Kids. Mm-hmm. But I take Reese's or Milky Way any day also. Good candy choices.
If talking just like candy, not chocolate, I also say Skittles.
There you go.
Skittles.
Do you guys like Butterfingers?
I can't eat Butterfingers.
Okay, I like Butterfingers, but I get that they're not for everyone. They get stuck in your teeth for a week.
Yeah, that's... Nah.
Yeah, say. So that I do get. Also, if you're in the chat and if you're in the comment section watching this, let us know your favorite Halloween candy. That's the important research we need to do on the podcast that rocked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, music, blah, blah, stuff. But we need to know what candy's the best, okay? That's the important stuff. M&M's are always a classic.
Those
are
your favorite horror movies, too.
Yeah, I said that before, but yeah, tell us your favorite horror movies. Tell us your favorite candies. This is a good time for it. Listen to Fred Durst.
Don't listen to Fred Durst. That is bad life advice.
Don't listen to Fred Durst any other time. Any other night, don't. But right now, sure.
I took off the cap. I'm not Fred Durst anymore.
That's right.
I'm just a guy in his old in
it's
his
the hat that does that it.
Two sizes like, longer than him.
The hat that like changes you into the personality. Yeah.
It's like, oh. I put this on and I become like 90s frat bro or something.
Yes, exactly. Transformation. Yeah. Three Musketeers. My mom loves like a Three
Sailor
Musketeers.
Moon thing too.
Yeah.
It's like a Sailor Moon.
Fred Durst, Sailor Moon. Oh, what kind of nightmare crossover did you just create for like?
He likes anime. On his Instagram like profile picture is like from Evangelion. He loves anime.
That's fine. But when I hear, oh yeah, I love anime. Oh yeah, like what? Sailor Moon. Okay.
That's the first thing that came into mind when I was thinking like transformations.
That's
you know,
fine.
She weighs the little wand or whatever. I don't know. Okay.
All right. Really quick, Alex Rowan, smile for the camera, screenshot for photos. Put your hat back on just for a moment, if you would, Rowan.
Yeah, sure. I got you.
Yeah, we got to get ready. Everyone, please indulge. Say happy Halloween real quick. Happy Halloween. Perfect. I'll just get a screenshot. That's it. Have a happy Halloween. Give away good candy. Don't get stingy. Kids have it hard enough as it is. If they come with a weak costume, give them candy anyway. It's a rough time right now. Be nice to kids.
I'd say have like the fun size candy for the lame costumes and have the king size reserve for the people who go all the way.
And do
bars,
it.
Yeah. You gotta do it.
And do it in front of the kids and do it for the front of the like the older teenagers too that don't even try. Oh yeah, here's your bite size. Okay.
If you're a teenager and you're coming dressed up, hell yeah.
Yeah, if you're dressed
up,
you're
not out being a delinquent.
Yeah, if you're dressed up 100%, especially if you're walking around like a little brother or sister. If it's just two teenagers in street clothes not trying, okay, kids, come on. Come on now.
Get out of here.
Come on. So.
You look at.
Oh, there you go.
I gotta do like the 90s. Like,
ooh, should we do another photo thing? Because you want to do the 90s thing? Okay. One. Two, three. Perfect. Gold, YouTube gold. Thank you so much for indulging us, everyone on YouTube and all the podcast platforms. We will see you next week. Thank you so much. Let us know about all the topics in the comments. Please share this with everyone. Finally, Alex, what joke would you like to tell everyone to send us off to our Halloween weekend?
Oh, I didn't know we were doing a joke. My bad.
Yeah, we got to have one to send off.
If you're going to say, why did the ghost not go to prom? I'm ready for it.
Okay.
I'm so sorry to disappoint you. That is definitely not my joke. Okay. But so I was doing laundry earlier and I tripped and I dropped my laundry basket full of my freshly folded clothes.
Oh.
And my roommate watched it all unfold.
Not bad. I'm with Rowan on this too. I got the smile instantly. It was good. It was good delivery.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Again, you made it sound like it really happened.
I was
happens.
Thinking like it was like Halloween themed. I was kind of like thinking that.
I know. I was going to go that route, like, but I'm like, nah, this is better. Like,
Why did the ghost not go to prom? Because he had no body to go with.
That joke's like from our grandparents' age, by the way. But yes, that is appropriate.
Oh, yeah, I know. But that is definitely on some piece of Laffy Taffy somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Especially the Halloween Laffy Taffys. Yeah, that's what they save those big ones for. The Halloween Laffy Taffys. We got some pumpkins being thrown. Someone said, I grinned. You know what? Not bad. Hopefully all your laundry stays. Someone's throwing ghosts. Someone just typed pumpkins. Okay, if you're going to do that, you have to at least do the emoji. Come on now.
I mean, at least you know the effort went into it.
Barely.
They don't even use the emoji. They just type what they want to throw.
Pumpkins. goodness. Have a great night, everyone. We will see you next week with more music news and shenanigans, and hopefully less Wes Scantlin being drunk and singing the Nirvana covers. No, I'm not sorry. I put that in there because it's funny. I don't know if I can make it through two. I do not think I can make it through two. No way.
I'm definitely not. They're so sick. Oh, darn.
Oh, no. Everyone in my family got sick at the same time. I have to go.
Weird. It's crazy timing.
I know, right? Oh, he's gonna start about a girl now. Oh, I got to go faster. One of my family members called again. Bye.
Sorry. I do it.
Night, everybody.